10 o'clock on the nose, we'll go to time certain, number 745.
Amend original art murals code to expand the location where murals are allowed.
Colleagues, we just heard some very good public testimony on one aspect of public art, and this ordinance here, we have Mika Keenan with the Director of Development Services and Phil Namony with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. They're here to jointly present recommendations to amend Title IV of the original art murals code. The history of mural regulations within the city stretches back more than 20 years, and it's tied to the city's sign regulations and the Oregon Constitution and limitations of a government's ability to regulate the content of speech. I'm guessing that's Article I, Section 8. In short, the courts have determined that the city cannot regulate murals or artwork distinct from signs if the distinction requires viewing the content of a piece to make a regulatory determination. In response to the legal limitations, the city developed two procedures for reviewing murals. The first project, Public Art Murals, expanded the city's existing public art program to include murals. As a patron and funder of the arts, the city, through the Regional Arts and Culture Council, also known as RAC, evaluates murals for inclusion in the city's public arts program. Second, the city adopted the mural code for smaller-scale murals that intend to be a community asset. The mural code provides a legal permitting avenue separate from signs and the RAC process. This code, along with the associated administrative rule, allows an applicant to get a permit by meeting minimum criteria for reviewing and approving murals based upon application and not based upon content. These criteria include, but are not limited to, the height, location, and minimum duration a mural must remain in place. These regulations have been largely successful. BDS issued approximately 15 to 20 mural permits a year since it was adopted back in 2009. The permit requirements are simple and low-cost, $50 per permit. Staff have found the code relatively easy to apply. The amendments being proposed today are intended to build on the success of the code by loosening some of the existing restrictions and allowing more places that murals can be installed. I'd also like to thank the Portland Street Art Alliance and the Regional Arts and Culture Council for working with staff on this important project. And with that, I'll call up Mika Keenan and Phil Namony. Thanks for being here this morning. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you all for hearing our presentation this morning. My name is Mika Keenan, I'm with the Bureau of Development Services. I'm here today with Phil Namony from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Peggy Kendellin from the Regional Arts and Culture Council is also here for invited testimony.
Very good.
We are here today to talk about Title IV original art murals. And for our agenda, this is a relatively short presentation today. Phil will be reviewing the code history and background, as well as the purpose of the code, and then I will run through an implementation update, code amendment recommendations, as well as administrative rule changes, and then we'll be available to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
So with that, I'll turn it over to Phil.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and the Commissioners.
Good morning.
Phil Namony with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I actually have worked on all the different code iterations of the mural projects. It's been gone through history. Also, if you want to know a little bit more about all the legal issues that have come about, this Tracy Reeve has been there since the very start, and I'm sure over a cup of coffee, she'd be happy to explain those, all the details of that. I do want to mention that at one point, the city did distinguish murals from other painted wall signs. We actually had painted wall decorations and painted wall signs. This was challenged in court by AKA Media, who is now owned by Clear Channel, and they were successful. And their actual intended outcome was to throw our sign code and our, any code that related to signs out. And instead, what we basically did was do the inverse and take any reference to murals out or painted wall decorations. And so in 1998, that was when we removed that language. And so for a period of time, any kind of mural was treated just like a sign. The reason why this happened is, as Mayor Wheeler mentioned, the Oregon Constitution actually has more liberal or more restrictive, but basically how you can regulate free speech is more restrictive under the state constitution than it is under the federal, whereas elsewhere you can potentially distinguish between commercial and non-commercial speech. In the state of Oregon, you cannot make that distinction. So you cannot declare something to be a non-commercial speech item and something else be a commercial and regulate them differently. So as a result, murals, which were tended to be a non-commercial expression, were placed under the sign code. Our former mayor, Mayor Katz, wanted to find a way to try to encourage at least some avenue to provide murals, and she worked with the Regional Arts and Culture Commission to develop what was known as the Public Art Mural Program. And what this did is it basically incorporated public art murals into the city's art program. And so just like other works of public art, the RAC could review and approve and essentially take ownership of a mural as a part of the city's public art program. And that passed in 2005. It was a partial solution. It still did not get at some of those kind of community-driven murals or situations where a school might want to go through with a mural artist and they don't necessarily need funding from RAC. They don't really want to be part of the public city's public art program, but they wanted to have a ability to put up a mural. While this was all going on, there were still legal remands and things going on. And what was found, I think, in 2008 was it was found that there was a determination that the city could potentially regulate a mural without looking at content if they could look at other things such as how it's applied, other kind of maybe time, place, manner type things. And out of that came what was known as the original mural, original art mural program, which we approved in 2009. Because of the history of litigation with sign companies and so on, we took kind of a cautious approach to that. And when adopting the code, we limited it to being placed on the exterior walls of buildings. We limited the height of it because we wanted it to be a community asset that was at a pedestrian level and not high up. Also, we did provide a requirement that the mural stay in place for 5 years. The idea, once again, being that it be something that the community could rally around and it would be something that they could identify with. And so those were some of the main things we put on there. I do want to mention we did create a title for a new title for the original art murals. We kept that title simple and we put a lot of the procedures into the administrative rule, which is administered by BDS, and that gives them the opportunity to make changes as they see fit in terms of, you know, how the application process works, how the neighborhood involvement is done, and things like that. One of the things we did do, I know that was mentioned at the beginning of a series of comments at the beginning of the commission session, the original art mural process does take a little bit of time because there is a requirement in the admin rules to meet with the neighbors around there and kind of present the proposal. That's not a binding meeting, but it's just a sense to try to create dialogue between them. So it takes place in the administrative rules, and I think Mika is going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the administrative rules as well, although the council is just voting on the Title IV. And I think with that, I'm going to set it back to Mika.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to give a brief implementation update. So in the past 3 years, we have issued 49 permits, which is consistent of the average of 15 to 20 since the code was adopted in 2009. There's objective standards in the code, which people have found easy to apply, and the standards are relatively easy to meet. The code is easy to administer, and there is a low barrier to entry. So we have a low permit fee. We do ask for a public notification, and this is really intended to pull the community into the conversation and get them engaged with the artist and an original work of art. So they have to post the site where the mural is going to be located 30 days in advance of this meeting, as well as let the neighborhood association know. And it's really an invitation for an open meeting and dialogue. So that posting needs to be up no longer or no shorter than 21 days. So that is where that time lag comes in, is just for this public notice requirement. So when we started looking at scoping this project, this really is the first policy change that we're looking at to the code since 2009. And what the ongoing conversation with the artist in the community was, you know, there's really some overly restrictive areas of this code. And because it has been largely successful, we've had a lot of murals installed, let's see if we can expand some opportunities and create some more locations for muralists to install their work. And while we were at it, we said, okay, there's also some confusing restrictions or confusing overlaps in there and some language that we could update as well. And reducing the five-year minimum duration is something that's a new administrative rule, which falls under the umbrella of expanding opportunities for muralists. So stakeholder involvement, once we came up with this original scope of the project, we assembled a technical advisory committee, which included the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, as well as the Graffiti Abatement Program with the Office of Community and Civic Life, as well as RAC and the Portland Street Art Alliance and Multnomah County to look at some ideas for how we could expand opportunities in the city. So for the code changes, the simpler changes were really some clarifications and update, and we wanted to clarify where the code applies. So as the code is currently written, you're not allowed to have a mural in the right-of-way. And we added a section that says if a mural begins on private property and encroaches into the right-of-way, then that's allowed. So if it's on a fence or a building that might encroach into the right-of-way, then that would be okay. We also updated the definition of grade. So grade is where a building meets the ground, and that is actually where we measure the height of the mural from. And that definition matches the Oregon Structural Specialty Code definition, which has changed since 2009, so we wanted to update that as well. And then the primary policy change for Title IV is really to, again, expand the locations where murals can be installed. And we did this by changing the definition. So by definition, a mural must be affixed to the side of a building. So this is the actual definition that you see on this, in the code, and that underlying piece is we're adding these two words, or structure. So this really is going to allow murals to be located on more structures. And a structure is anything that's built in or on the ground. It includes retaining walls, flagpoles, buildings, decks, things of that nature. It doesn't include landscaping, and it doesn't include paved areas. So this is really creating more opportunities on private property. And then we have a handful of administrative rule changes, as Phil had mentioned. So the code amendments really go hand in hand with these administrative rules. Removing the height requirement in the design overlay zone. Title IV currently has a height restriction of 30 feet, which, again, is to keep murals as a community asset. We really want to make sure that they're accessible to a community, and this also limits the attractiveness of potential advertisers as an avenue to get a permit if they often want to see a lot of visibility and things up high. So this keeps it the mural as a community asset. Reducing the minimum duration from 5 to 2 years. So right now, a mural must be maintained for 5 years, and we're proposing to reduce that to 2 years, which might make it more acceptable or attractive to a building owner who is a little resistant to having a mural for 5 years, and maintaining it 2 years might be something that would, make it more feasible for them.
Can I ask you a question on that? So we heard some testimony earlier today about free walls and the like, and obviously the two-year minimum would not work with that kind of strategy, or would it?
That would not work with this strategy.
First of all, could you give us some idea of why the minimum exists? And number two, it sounded like they wanted to come back to council or work with RAC and work with others and potentially put together some sort of an idea or a pilot project that the council could then consider at a later date. What is the core reason for having the minimum duration? And does this in any way tie back to court rulings? I'm just trying to figure out because I understand the administrative aspect of it, but why is there a minimum at all?
So there's a minimum duration, which does tie back to having these standards in place and the sign code, right? So this is something that we can regulate without looking at the content. And if you have no time requirement, I would say there's two things. It reduces the community feel to it and creating this like sense of place if something can be changing on a daily basis. It's not something that, you know, everybody in the community is participating in. It's more of a revolving project. It also would open the door to allowing revolving advertisements. So because we can't regulate content, an advertiser could come in and potentially have rotating advertisement on the wall.
Could the council make specific carve out exception? For example, if we did a free wall, and we're really early in on this conversation.
Yep.
I'm just hypothesizing. If we did it, could the council make a carve out for a limited exception or in a very specific location? Do we have the ability to shape this further?
We do have the ability to shape it further. My suggestion would not be to change the code for a single project, but I think that there are other opportunities to support this project and make it happen. I think we're looking at some other avenues through RAC. I don't know, Phil, if you have anything you want to add to the history on the...
Well, I think one
location.
Of the things, when you talk about a specific location, that lends itself to something that is a partnership with RAC, is how I'd see it, because in RAC could possibly help with the management. They could maybe, you know, organize if it's especially going to be a free wall that provides like an incubator space or things like that. It could all even be tied into, you know, future art kind of thing. The thing that we're always cautious about just removing that entirely is the idea that even though our code does say that a building owner can't get compensation for displaying the mural, there are potentially other workarounds where a sign company could say, you know, if they've got a wall that's a graffiti problem, they could say, we'll take care of the wall, you know, we'll maintain it if you just let us revolve the sign. So that's the one thing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of similarities between the desires of a sign company or an advertiser and a desire of, you know, other forms of expression. You know, visibility is important. Having the ability to, you know, make changes is important. And those kind of apply equally to both of these situations.
Good.
And so that's tough.
I agree with that. That was my concern. And I'm glad that we have RAC and others working on this question, because there is a balancing act here. We definitely don't want to open the door for revolving signs all over the place. And I remember that debate and this discussion many years ago, I think, at this point. Commissioner Daly.
I just want to say I appreciate your thoughtfulness on this particular item. We are inundated with advertising at every turn. We do not need to provide corporations with more opportunities to bombard the public with advertising. This is about art. So thank you for that.
So just to wrap up these last pieces, 4, 5, and 6, we're updating procedures to be consistent with our current practices. So these are just some permit procedure changes that we've made. We're adding a definition of structure. Since we're expanding the location from buildings to structure, we thought it'd be helpful to have a definition in there as well. And that's the same definition that's in the zoning code, so that we have some consistency there. And then we're looking to make some general updates to make sure that the administrative rule and Title IV changes are consistent. So in summary, we're looking to expand locations where murals can be installed through code amendments and administrative rules. And I did pull some of the murals from our permitting database just to show a couple of examples of some of the work that's been permitted through this program. And this is a tile mosaic on the side of a school building on Iowa Street. This is a painted wall mural on Southeast Belmont Street. You can see this includes some text and of more of a personal nature. And this is also a mural that functions more as advertising. And then this is also a tile mosaic on the side of a building on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And then this is a RAC-approved mural on Alamar Restaurant, and this was done with some students from David Douglas High School. So the options today for council are to adopt the code amendments as recommended and direct BDS to update the administrative rule, adopt the code amendments with modifications and direct BDS to update the administrative rule, or to deny the recommendations and maintain the existing code. And at this time, I'd like to invite Peggy Kendallin with the Regional Arts and Culture Council to come up for some invited testimony.
Thank you both. Good presentation. Good morning.
Good morning. So good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Peggy Kendallin, Senior Public Art Manager at the Regional Arts and Culture Council and manager of the city's Public Art Murals Program, which was officially launched in 2005 under the leadership of Mayor Vera Katz. So needless to say, RAC is excited that the Mayor's Office has brought forward the proposed changes to Title IV, and thank you for all of your continuing support.
Thank you.
I was part of the murals working group that designed the city's original art mural permitting program in 2009, which we're talking about today. And then discussions resurfaced in September of 2017 in Commissioner Udaly's office with her and PSAA and other city staff at the table. So it's been a long discussion. We're here in August 2019. So RAC supports the changes to Title IV presented today. These ideas for change have been simmering over the past several years as we witnessed an increase in artists, neighborhoods, businesses, and property owners wanting more murals. Community benefits are real when it comes to public murals. They benefit artists, neighborhoods, business, and property owners, and tourism. The guidelines for the city's permit were beginning to make it more challenging in terms of longevity and location. These are simple changes that align with the original intent of the code and should encourage more artists and communities to bring art to our urban landscape. So we've all seen the positive impacts of murals in our city and how they've supported the creative economy and by putting dollars in the pockets of artists. Portland Street Art Alliance, Forest for the Trees, TriMet, and RAC all have commissioned or sponsored hundreds of artists. Murals become wayfinders. They identify neighborhoods and businesses, and they bring tourism dollars into the local economy, and they often mitigate vandalism. I also want to mention Portland's Innovation Quadrant Group, the Portland IQ, an emerging collaborative ecosystem that one of their interests is to feature murals as one of the ways to make the Central Eastside Industrial District a tourist destination. And wouldn't it be great to see a vivid, rotating outdoor gallery of murals that promoted both local and visiting artists? To address the presentation made earlier by PSU and PSAA, I commend them for doing that important work that has been needed to bring the legal discussion to the next level here at City Council. It's impressive and passionate work, and it adds value to our current work with murals, which are always evolving. RAC would love to work with them to figure out how we might bring the idea of a free legal wall into the temporary public art program that we're already doing. An example of that is our Fresh Paint initiative, which started out as a pilot project in partnership with Open Signal at MLK and Graham. That pays a stipend to artists of color to paint a temporary exterior mural, which goes back to the benefit of supporting artists to expand their skills. So each mural remains in place for 6 months, and along with giving the artists an opportunity to learn new techniques, the project also increases public awareness about their work. And in fact, the first three artists in that program have gone on to do some permanent important commissions in the city. A legal free wall could be viewed as complementary to this already existing program. And it would create a safe space for the artists to paint and learn, as was mentioned earlier. So if artists have anything to say about it, neither murals nor artists' voices are going away anytime soon. And please continue to count on RAC support for you in this work.
Mayor, I have a couple questions.
Commissioner Fish.
Peggy, thank you for your testimony. So is your recommendation that we adopt the code changes as proposed, but come back and do a pilot with PSAA?
I think that's a good idea. I think we could work on establishing a pilot for the temporary legal wall.
And do you have the capacity to do that at RAC?
We would have to look at our current capacity and how we would roll that into our current programming with time and money. Yeah.
What's the current budget for the public art mural program?
$50,000. That has been the budget from the beginning in 2005. And it stayed that way.
So you may end up having a request for some additional dollars to do a pilot?
We can look at that at RAC.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the presentation. Outstanding. Carla, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony today?
8 people.
Very good. Call the first 3, please. 3 minutes each, name for the record. Microphones slide around, and they work best if you keep about 6 inches of distance between your mouth and the microphone.
First 3 are Diana, Lightning, and Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Yeah, and I'm being reminded again, please stay focused on the subject at hand today. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Morning. My name is Diana, and I'm very moved by this agenda item, item 745, in regards to the Portland art murals. Based off of the current public testimony that we received during communications, I think that it is very valid, and I see that it can definitely benefit the city of Portland. It can connect communities together. It can connect people who are looking for work, and also provide a safe haven and a safe way for people to express themselves, to use their voice, and to talk about things that maybe we don't always think about as a general public. I love the city of Portland, and my husband and I go on many, many outdoor walks, and one of the things that I love about the walks is the murals that are painted around my neighborhood and then just within the inner cities. I am a fan of art. I think that being able to express yourself creatively is very important, and to be able to see that nurtured in our city is vital. So my only question really is when they are talking about informing the community. I know for myself, I've seen a lot of new murals go up, but I've never been informed on those things. So I just want to know how they go about informing the public or the neighborhoods with building structures that are going to have beautiful murals painted on them. Because for myself, I would love to see that, you know, unfold, and I'd like to be a part of that. The other thing is that I really, I do think that one thing to be considered is the timeline for how long murals can stay up, because I do think that if we can have them evolving, it gives more opportunity to local artists here in the city of Portland. And based off of the public communication this morning, that's really what it's about. Local artists are wanting to have a free space, a free wall to paint and express themselves. And so having the contract come down from 5 to 2 years, I think, is a really good start. And if we can even bring it down a little bit more than that, so more artists can have the opportunity to circulate creatively, I see that being a really beautiful thing. So I'm 100% in support of this, and I hope that you guys support it as well. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Okay. I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins. Can this turn into some sort of, is there provisions against a mural being pornographic art? And have a pornographic art war in Portland where Is there any supervision about the content of the mural? When I was a little kid, there was a Standard Insurance building with a picture of two women, a statue with two women over here, and two men in a bathtub, and they're naked. I mean, I could take a picture of that and draw it on a mural. Strangely enough, that statue's always been there, but it's not been expanded either. It's not like every plaza has something like that. So it's kind of weird. Maybe objections would regulate that sort of thing, and people would allow it some places and then not others. But it is strange. I've seen that when I was a kid, looked at it, you know, and I think there should be some review and on that topic, because it is controversial. I've actually walked by the building and with little kids, and the parents are going this way, and I'm going that way, so it's kind of funny.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. To Walt Pillett on the east side, they need a wall. So to my friend Walt, they'll probably be talking to you. Also, I'm surprised PSU hasn't stepped up. I'd love to paint on the side of your buildings. PSU, you're a bunch of worthless idiots over at PSU, the upper-level administrators. Now, moving on, this Title IV is a bunch of garbage. Should be thrown in the garbage can. You want to restrict the creativity, the free flow of ideas, what the artist can do. You know what? Why don't you go restrict yourself? And, you know, to call it content neutral is just to allow more ways of not the public coming after them if they don't go content based on this, to go after them through court cases, and just to allow the government not to stand there and say, you know what, if it doesn't meet our purposes and our needs as the government, we're not going to allow it to happen. Well, guess what? Who cares? Who cares what you want? This is art. Free flow of ideas, imagination, what they want to do. You start restricting these artists in the manner you're doing, you won't have artists in this city. This is pathetic. Pathetic. And by the way, if you want a wall, get together with some of these private entities, buy the buildings, and by the way, Uber and Lyft and all of you that are already beginning to buy these buildings, these artists want to paint on the side of your buildings. And I know you're going to allow them to do that. And here's the deal. Artists don't need to be restricted. This is pathetic. Pathetic in my idea, in my view, on what an artist is. An artist needs to be free. An artist needs to have the ability to create free flow of ideas, create great art, what they think is great, not what you think is great. The artist has that right and that ability until they sign these contracts and give it all away to RAC, to the city of Portland. I don't think so. Take your Title IV, take all of this and throw it in the garbage can. That's where it belongs, because the private sector will allow murals to go on their private buildings, which will be considered fixtures, which will be considered the property of the artist, and they will not allow you to restrict it, period. This is an outright joke to me. And by the way, Jordan Snitzer, they want a wall. Do we want to have a discussion and give them a wall? Yes, let's do that. I'll get together with you sometime next week and get all these artists a wall. Quit allowing yourself to be restricted, controlled, and take away everything you are, which is the artist. The artist to create ideas. Do what you want. Have a little edginess
Thank you.
To it.
Thank you. Your time is
be
up.
Be an artist.
Thank you.
You
Your next
don't
want three,
to control
please.
Everything in this city.
Next three are art, Tomas me. Velardes, Maggie and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Yours hurt.
Fossil would be upset. No,
sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're not
yet.
Yeah, thank you again.
Portland Street Art Alliance.
So we feel very lucky to be.
We lost our quorum.
Oh, yeah, one sec. why don't we take a 2-minute recess? Oh, she is? Okay, great. Never mind. Here she is. Good morning. Thanks.
Morning.
Yep. Lightning, I want to remind you that this is a disruption contrary to council rules. If you do not stop, you will be asked to leave.
Freedom of speech, freedom of expression.
You don't get to interrupt other people's free speech or
F
freedom
you,
of expression.
That's art. F you.
No, it's just obnoxious. Good morning.
Hold your feet, my friend. Don't put your hand up.
I just wanted to make some statements about the mural code changes. We feel very lucky as an organization, Portland Street Art Alliance, to be asked to be at the table as community representatives for the reexamination of the mural code. And it's been a long time coming, and we honor the history of all those that worked to get here, specifically Portland Mural Defense and other arts advocates who got us to this point. And we support the proposed changes to the mural code. But we also feel that there is something that's not being addressed through the city code or through RAC currently, and that's outside of the free walls is we're also looking for ways to have rotating art spaces. So though the proposed changes to move from 5 to 2 years is a step towards that, we actually do think that there should be a minimum duration because it does protect artists and it protects work that we want to keep in the public sphere for longer. And we also understand that that actually helps deter advertising as well. However, we are seeing that in chronically tagged or vandalized properties, one way that we have seen works really well is to invite well-respected artists that work in graffiti style writing, and they are able to paint freely with time, with some budget, but that also opens it up to being able to be a curated rotating space, that if something were to get tagged, it's much easier, quicker, cheaper to have someone else come and paint something new over that space. And so we're proposing or asking for the council to direct BDS or Office of Civic Life to find a new way or new avenues outside of potentially of the mural code to allow for rotating spaces for artists. That could be something that could be temporary, 6 months, 3 months. And so we hope that we can find a way to do that while still preserving the protections for artists and preserving the code that deters advertising.
Very good. Could I ask you one follow-up question, then I'll get to Commissioner Fritz. Could you be a little more specific when you say rotating art spaces? Could you just talk a little bit, you know, briefly about what you mean?
Sure. We see that there are opportunities for artists to paint murals for limited time. So we've worked with particularly buildings that are chronically tagged or vandalized, and oftentimes these are either vacant spaces or spaces that are going to be demolished. And so they're temporary spaces that are there for maybe only a year before they're redeveloped. And so in those spaces, we've proposed to bring in artists to paint and then invite artists to kind of continually rotate and change out those spaces. So it's spaces that sometimes are not there for 2 or 5 years.
Got it. Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Commissioner Fritz.
There is an exemption if the building's sold, so that you don't have to keep it for 2 years. We did look, I was on multiple committees about this for many years, and it has to be content neutral, so we can't say whether we like it or not. So I think you could probably do it that if it gets tagged over, you can repaint the original art, but not put different art up. Mm-hmm. But maybe that could be a training experience too. If you've got a really great artist who puts up the first one and then you get it gets tagged and novices come in and, you know, like you try to copy great master works of art, try to restore it to its original glory.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And you know, it's interesting that we have these discussions with no anecdotal sites to facts. I don't know if the Willamette Week has Alex here or if Hannah Chin also came. Some of you, I'm sure, are aware that there's been some concern about how the mural work is handled with the Montevilla Co-op, Montevilla Farmers Market. In the bigger context, there was a brief mention of mural tourism, and it is strange that we haven't been able to, in this long, you know, There is Mural Alley in San Francisco. In Seattle, the tourism was, I think, an alley with gum on the wall. Hopefully we can do something a little bit better than that. The person that testified just before me, I would encourage you to take to heart his suggestion about inter-bureau cooperation. I don't know exactly how you catalog structures or buildings that are part of chapter code 29.40. I don't know if that's accurate. I'm going by, last week I quoted the Daily Mail. This time I'm quoting one of the Examiner newspapers. The local Southeast Examiner says that it's code section 29.40. That particularly relates to a mural art site at 26 and Belmont in that story from last year. So I was surprised to hear the RAC mention that there were 40 official, or 49, I think they said, official collaboration murals. And I'm not a super patron or devotee of street art, but it would have been interesting to know what resources are out there besides just telling everybody, Google it for yourself about Portland street art, which is probably some great Googling. Is there any kind of process? It was, you know, it is ironic to that we have Portland State presenting here, and I can't think of any commissioned, regulated, ordinance-sanctioned mural work going on the Portland State campus, maybe because they're busy throwing $800,000 at their booted president. I don't know. So I think that when we want things, we need to start in our own backyards. So I hope that that will invigorate people at Portland State to also bring us some great street art just 10 blocks south of here as we, I think, I'm not a street artist. I can't tell you whether it's in the best interest of the public, whether you vote yes or no. I don't know if I'll be sad or happy if you're unanimous or split on this, but let's up the level of conversation and bring these artists. You know, this is one of the great things that Chloe Udaly has done as commissioner, is there's a more vibrant dialogue and variety of arts projects flowing through the lobby of this building. So let's get some pictures of this art into the lobby of the building here. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. If you're wanting to do this, fund this street art or artist coalition or mural art for artists because you're wanting to get rid of unsightly tagging, one of the reasons that people tag, and I'm not an artist, I'm not a street artist, I don't tag, is due to the lack of free speech and democracy and the lack of representation that they find right here in this room. And, you know, the Northwest Examiner editor, Alan Klausman, said, you know, the best cure for the lack of democracy is more democracy. I guess Chloe went there, and they didn't respond to her well. There she is.
So, Maggie, again, and I know I say this every week, I sound like a broken record.
I'm
a specific ordinance.
I'm talking about democracy here.
Please bring it back. Thank you.
It's whether you're for or against this item, once again.
I would like to see homeless artists engage in this. I would like to see them invited in because they're traditionally excluded from all these art projects. And I would like them to do an art project that is about the disempowerment of everyone from HUD to their contractors, to the representatives, to the bureaucracies, all the way on down, making it some terrible big secret about the way things operate regarding housing and healthcare.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. That last suggestion is a good one. And when we heard the folks for communications, I think they explicitly raised that as an important possibility with their pilot in the Central East Side. So I'm sure we'll hear more on that as well. Thank you. Next three.
The last two who signed up are Jeanne Connett and Stan Herman.
All righty. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. Jeanne Connett, for the record. There is this lovely mural across the street from where I live, and it changes I don't know how often, I don't care. They're kids. and they come and they create this beautiful mural. I think there's been like two or three of them since I've lived there, and I've only lived there since March 9th of 18. And so I want to say that I'm very, very happy to hear that you guys are supporting this. I also think, oh, Trump, here's your line. We need more wall. Okay, guys? We just need more wall. Because if you think about how many artists are in Portland, Oregon, yeah, we don't have enough wall. But I do appreciate it. I love that mural. I get up every day. I walk out to the elevator and stop on the balcony floor and look at it, and it cheers my day. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. My name's Stan Herman. I just want to add a little bit. I have a building with a mural of famous women of Portland, and it got tagged maybe a couple times in the last 15 years. So I think the quality of the product up there, the artists respect it, okay? And what I'm going to offer is, I've got, if you want to do a pilot project, one 200-foot wall with 10 sections. They're about 14 by 20 wide. It would be a great pilot project. It's right on Interstate Avenue. The light rail goes by it. And you should see all the visitors come in town to take pictures of the wall that I do have. And so I'm just offering that if you need a pilot program for that. And I'll just throw on one more thing on the famous woman of Portland. My $3 pictures are up there, too. So I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's on Harding and Interstate.
Nice. I have, and it's amazing. Wonderful. Thank you.
You come down Interstate Avenue, hit Russell, you'll see 1,200-square-foot mural there. Famous women of Portland.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Does that complete public testimony on this item, Carla?
That's all who signed up, yes.
Any further discussion or questions, colleagues? Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you, everyone, for the presentation, for your testimony today.